From Ballymoney and County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program in our Savior's name. I'm glad to have you join us today, and here to Let the Bible Speak is the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining me once more around the Word of God. I have been airing short extracts from a sermon I preached entitled The Last Invitation. The sermon is based upon Revelation chapter 22 and the verse 17. We will play the final extract from that sermon today, and next week we will introduce a new sermon. Please remember, you may have a free copy of this sermon if you contact me requesting one. Please do. We will be continuing our study of Revelation chapter 11, and what an interesting, indeed exciting portion we are looking at today. It's chapter 11, verses 15 to 19. Do get your Bible out and look up that passage. Here now is the final extract from the sermon, The Last Invitation, based on Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and it will be followed immediately by some gospel music and then our Bible study.
It is so titled, The Waters of Life, because that's what it conveys. It conveys life. You know, ordinary water, the water that we all drink of, is the most important fluid on the face of the earth. More valuable than gold, you know. There's many places tonight, and they'd give their right arm for a drop of water. Places afflicted by droughts. The man who has a well on his property, he's a rich man indeed. How valuable is water? For as in the physical sense, water is the very essence of life. In fact, it would surprise you how much you are made up of water. I know some people are sort of more watery than others. There's none of us but are basically made up of a very large portion of water. And spiritually speaking too, you see, this water in the gospel, that which flows out of this book, conveys life to us. It conveys life to us. Man, the dying creature, here finds his need supplied. Bless the Lord. In the waters that flow from the Bible, there's pardon for sins. Pardon for sins. Oh, where can we go to find pardon for sins? Just as there's no substitute for water in the physical sense, so in the gospel there is that which supplies life, pardon. Pardon for sins is found in this gospel. He who drinks the water of life will find peace with God. Sins all dealt with, washed away. Praise God, washed away. There's sanctification. Water cleanses, doesn't it? Well, this is water that cleanses, but it doesn't just wash the outward. This water washes our hearts, washes our spirit, washes our mind, washes our whole being, makes us clean creatures. Remember the book of Ezekiel, the chapter 36, where God says, I will sprinkle you with clean water and purge you from all your sins. Oh, men and women, the day, the hour that you knelt down and drank of the water of life, you partook of a new nature, a holy nature. A holy nature. You drunk that which purged your being, made you a new creature in Christ. Here in the waters of life there's glory. I drink heaven. You see, when I partook of the waters of life, I partook of heaven. Heaven began within me. By drinking of the gospel, I have assured myself of being in heaven. Because of the shedding of Jesus' blood and the partaking of that life which flowed from that great tree, the well that Jesus opened. Have you drunk of the waters of life?
Someday when this world has run the course that God intended, ancient Bible prophecy will surely be fulfilled. As the Savior left the earth the day when He ascended, he'll come again, the Father has willed. Jesus is coming, though we know not when. Yes, he is coming, Jesus is coming again. Oh, it is a blessed hope to those who know the Savior. Blessed in the many joys that it will usher in. Purifying hope that has the power to change behavior. Keeping from the world's defilement and sin.
Turning to Revelation chapter 11 and looking at the verses 15 to 19 of this chapter, here we have the glorious proclamation of the kingdom of God. While earth was rejoicing over the death of the two witnesses, things were taking place in heaven. The time had come for the seventh and the last trumpet to be blown and the end of the age to be proclaimed. The scene depicted by Daniel will most likely be taking place at this very time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Oh, how foolish sinners are! What secret things are taking place even now, upon which no human eye may focus? And because of that, men assume they do not exist. Heaven is real, and the actions and the government of God is real. And men will see it to be so one day. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. Verse 15. What a welcome is given to this announcement. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, and wast, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power, and hast reigned. Verses 16 and 17. Heaven, that place of perpetual worship, is aroused to greater heights of praise by the proclamation of the kingdom. It's a day in which the Lord God Almighty shall take to himself his great power. Note that it is a time of great anger, and among the many feelings that will well up in the hearts of sinners, fear, dismay, consternation, there will also be that of anger. Verse 18, and the nations were angry. To the end, man will be an implacable rebel against God. Whatever men may be forced to acknowledge of the power of God on that great and terrible day, he will remain estranged within his heart. His heart will ever remain a sea of raging anger against God. He invented his anger on his brother, though his anger was really against God, as was Saul's anger against the early church. So it has ever been, and so it shall ever be for the unregenerate sinner. For the child of God, grace has doused that flame of rebellion. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 10 and Colossians chapter 1 verse 21. But it is also a time of destruction. For those who destroy the earth, verse 18, destruction is coming. Since the beginning of time, sinful man has, like a worm or a moth in a garment, been destroying the earth. Man has corrupted everything he has touched. Who can measure the moral destruction wrought upon the earth over the centuries by immoral man? What of the physical corruption of the land, the rivers, the seas, and oceans, and of the air, of which man has also been guilty? He has managed to enter the realm of space within the last 30-odd years, and already tens of thousands of pieces of junk litter the realm surrounding the earth. Man is a vandal in all his ways. In the verse 19 we read, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings, and an earthquake and a great hail." How ominous is an uncovered ark? You see, the ark contained the law of God, the law broken and despised by sinful men. Here the ark is not sprinkled with Christ's blood of atonement, by which the believing sinner is reconciled to God and enters into eternal peace. No, the ark is surrounded by those tokens of divine wrath displayed at Mount Sinai, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Men shall one day give an account to God for every breach of that law. It is lightly esteemed today. Its truths are despised and utterly rejected. Its exhortations and prohibitions are daily refused by individuals and by governments. But the day of account is coming. That defied law must be faced by sinful men. While grace affords you an opportunity, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 20. Next week, we'll be moving on in our study to chapter 12. Thank you for being with us today. May the Word of God have profited your soul. God bless you and goodbye.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6 PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6 PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.